Welcome to the Conversations Podcast. We are continuing our series, Follow Jesus. We got a good one for you today. I'm joined by two special guests and friends. First, we're joined by lead pastor Jose Abaroa. Jose, welcome
Morning,
back to the podcast. And the man, the myth, the legend, student pastor Johnny Young is back. Johnny, great to have
you. Hello there. Good to see you, Taylor.
Always.
It's the same one every time. I'm trying to do General Kenobi.
It's been a thing every time he's on the podcast.
Just not catching on.
It has been a whirlwind of a weekend. I don't even feel like I can say that, Johnny, but for you, for sure. I would love to start by just hearing some of the, just your thoughts as far as Focus Weekend. We'll get into the message and how it relates to everything that God's been doing this weekend. But we'd love to hear just from a high level what you saw God do and what you're celebrating this morning.
Yeah, man, good question. I heard recently from one of the seniors that it was her favorite focus, which meant a lot to me because to me, it felt like my favorite focus, but I was a little biased. And so it was cool to see just that we decided to go a lot deeper this year compared to years prior. And I thought the students responded really well to that, from the worship to the service projects to the message, and it all went really smooth. I feel like there's very minimal drama, which always helps for a weekend full of 200 students, and it was really, really great. I saw life change in a lot of students. I saw life change in the leaders and in myself, and I think it was a really successful weekend, and it was all to do with God, nothing to do with me or the leaders, but just blessed to be a part of it.
Yeah, the end of the gathering is always fun when we're outside, and it helps that it was a beautiful day on Sunday morning, but celebrating all those baptisms, and there's this, the fact that we do them outside is really neat, and then parents baptizing their kids, parents watching their kids be baptized, and so overall, no better way to cap a weekend than by celebrating life change, and so, yeah, well done, Johnny. What a fun weekend.
Yeah, Jose, something you shared on Sunday, God is on the move in the next generation. Johnny, something you've shared as well. For someone listening that maybe isn't connected to a student in junior high or high school personally, maybe in their family, just what would maybe be some kind of high-level things you've noticed just in this next generation? Not just through Focus, but I think Focus kind of encapsulates some of that, but just stuff you've been seeing on Wednesday nights and in community groups and stuff like that, and just I think that you've found encouraging that you think would encourage us as well.
Yeah, there's a hunger for sure for worship, for scripture. There's like, I feel like students now are not afraid of scripture, but just want to know more about it. They see the importance in it. And so I think it's important to capture that and then help guide them and be shepherds of, okay, here's how you read scripture. Here's what's important about it. Here's how you apply it. Same thing with worship, with everything else as far as following God. And so the hunger is there. They just need shepherds.
That's so good, man. And that's why you're here. You're here to do just that. And you're doing a great job. And worship on Sunday was really powerful at the 11:30 gathering when we had all 210 there in the front. And I mean, they were leading worship.
Yeah,
they were leading worship. The mosh pit was not what it was the night before. There's definitely more moshing going on Saturday night, but Sunday morning was really powerful. Hearing the voices of the next generation. These are our leaders. These are going to be future pastors, future leaders in the workplace of our country, in our community. And so what a beautiful sound it is hearing them collectively say, "Great are you, Lord," and worship him with all their heart.
Well, and it was a great tie-in to the message. We've been looking at Follow Jesus, which is an open invitation for all ages and all generations. And so, Jose, would love to give you kind of the first word as far as what God showed you as you were preparing for this message in light of everything that God did over Focus.
Yeah, I've read the Gospel of Matthew many times, and teaching at this time, so many things have stood out to me. And as I was thinking about where we've been, obviously there's the theme of belong, grow, reach that we continue to see highlighted in these passages. And also, I love how Jesus pivots. So he went from modeling really through his birth and then in his baptism, and then he immediately goes to preaching the Sermon on the Mount. And so that's him talking about what following Jesus is all about, what it means to be a son and daughter of the Lord, how to further the kingdom here on earth. And then he pivoted, and this is where we were last week, was he walked it out. So he walked the talk, and he did so by doing amazing miracles. And then I love how this week we saw the story of Matthew, how he again pivots, and he's doing all these amazing things, but the most amazing thing is that he's written all of our names in the book of life. I mean, that's the greatest miracle. And so Jesus is extending this invitation to Matthew to follow him. And again, we see how he immediately follows him and leaves his tax collector's booth and then invites Jesus into his home. And so, yeah, this scene is where we camped out.
It's so encouraging, just personally, every focus and every year, just to see the number of baptisms, the number of students that make the commitment and receive that invitation for the first time, or maybe the first time they've really been able to make it their own instead of just following their parents and all. But I love something, Jose, that you shared. Some of that, some people listening, that may be their next step.
Yep.
Just simply receiving that invitation, the most important decision they can make. But also a question that you asked that resonated with me was just asking, have you accepted the invitation in all areas of your life?
Yep.
And love for y'all to speak to just both of y'all the importance of the all in that question, as far as not just on a Sunday or maybe a Wednesday night or in community group, but just what has God shown you about the significance of accepting the invitation in all areas of your life?
That's a great question. I think there's a big difference between accepting Jesus as your Savior and accepting him as your Lord. And I think, you know, we always come to this point eventually of, you know, he's my Savior, hopefully. But then after that, it's now we have this place of, well, now we have to say yes to him being Lord. You can't go the rest of your life without him being the Lord of your life. And I think that's exactly what happens with Matthew, is that it's this initial like, hey, I want you to drop everything and follow me. And I would ask so many questions. I would want to know logistics. I'm like, hey, who are you? And why should I follow you? What about, you know, Tuesday I have dinner with the family? And so there's that in the stories that we went over in Focus about just Jesus becoming the Lord of everything. So that's kind of been the heart at J-High, especially lately, has been, okay, what about when you're at sports? What about when you can't be at J-High? What about when your parents don't want to, you know, go to church? It's like, is Jesus still your Lord then? And I think that has been really captured lately, and especially with these stories, and especially with going through just Matthew.
Yeah, you guys talked about the rich young ruler, where the invitation was extended to him, and then the rich young ruler, well, we don't know if long-term he accepted the invitation, but we do know that when Jesus said, it's going to cost you everything, you got to sell everything, that he left away sad because he recognized the cost. And then you talked about the prodigal son, extending an invitation to somebody that may not deserve it, and yet he said, the father said, hey, my love is enough to cover over your sin, and so come back home and let's throw a party. And so, yeah, I think twofold to answer your question, Taylor, that the love of God is so, like, this invitation truly is the best invitation that we can receive. Mm-hmm. So acknowledging the weight of that is huge, and then making sure that every single decision, this whole idea of lordship, applies in our life. I've heard it said that when you say yes to Jesus, you get all of him. So you get the Holy Spirit, you get all of him. But every day as you live out your life, it's you giving all of yourself back to Jesus. So there is this mystery that we have an option to yield things back to God so that he can transform our hearts, and so that we can be his imago Dei, a new creation. We talked about the wineskin, a new wine in the new wineskin, to a world that so desperately needs refreshment and renewal.
How do y'all, just practically, what does that look like as far as, is that just kind of going through kind of a list? Jose, on Sunday, you mentioned some C's that maybe we could do as kind of a self-assessment, but just how do we continue to give ourselves up to Christ, or know what aspects of our life we do need to give over to God?
Yeah, those C's were, let's see if I remember, choices, the choices that we make, the crowd that we're around, checkbook, where we invest our money, our calendar, where we invest our time, and conviction. What are the things that are leading us and guiding our, well, choices and all of those other things? And yeah, Psalm 139 really is it. And I really was in that scanner at the airport thinking, gosh, this is it. This is Psalm 139 in real life. 360. Oh, yep, you got some metal in your pocket, you know, you need to take that out. And if we allow God to scan us daily, if we allow God permission into our thoughts, into our motives, into the things that are driving us, the more self-aware we are, the more we'll be able to offer those things up to Jesus. And what he does is he's in the renewal. He's in the resurrection business. He's going to change, transform, and renew our minds, our thoughts, our lives to become more like him. So it's up to us then to give those things to him.
Yeah, I think a lot of people think it's, I need to come up with a list of do's and don'ts, and maybe that's what God is even like, where is that's not true. It's just growing closer to Jesus, following him, and the rest of the things follow. And I believe at Crosstalk, you guys talked about Matthew 6:33, where it says, seek first his kingdom and all these things will be added to you. And you're talking about relationships, and I think that's so good that, hey, instead of just wondering how exactly should I do a relationship correctly, like dating-wise, first, I just need to follow Jesus, seek first his kingdom. And then all the things as far as like boundaries, my heart posture, everything like just kind of follows. And same thing with our lives, with focus, with no matter where you're at in life, I think if you just seek first his kingdom, then you start recognizing, who am I around? How am I viewing my job? How am I talking to others? And how am I going about my relationship with God even? And so I think that's a good just first place to always start every day.
Yeah. Yeah. Making that list can seem pretty overwhelming. Once I start getting through it, I'm like, man, I am really screwing up here. This is rough. I think something I would just add, I'd love to get y'all's thoughts on this, is just for me, I think frustrations and fears typically identify areas that I haven't fully given to God. So those C's are helpful because usually within there's something within those, but I think it seems things that I'm just like really anxious about, worried about, and just being able to ask myself why, like why am I worried about that? What is my kind of, you know, usually I'm holding on to control, and then frustration is the same way, where it's like, I don't feel like I'm an angry person. And yet there's going to be times where things really get under my skin. And it's like, well, what was that as far as like, so I don't know if that's been something in y'all's story as well, as being able to recognize that, but just, and not just coming up with a list, but just sometimes, I mean, this invitation, God wants what's best for us. It's not just a list of do's and don'ts.
Yeah. I'm laughing because oftentimes I do start with a list and I'm thinking, do better, grow out of this. And then the frustration is with myself, that I can't do better, that I can't change. You know, behavior modification is not a sanctification, the way of sanctification. The way of sanctification is to go back to Jesus. And that's precisely what Jesus is correcting the Pharisees in their thinking. They're saying, hey, look at him hanging out with all these sinners and tax collectors and people that aren't doing good things. They're not choosing the right way. And Jesus said, hey, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I came for the sinners, not for the righteous. So I came for those that need a doctor, that are aware of their sin. And so I need to be honest with my frustration, in my inability to do better. And that's a great starting place, is if you try religion, which is trying to earn your way to God, then hopefully you can realize that you don't make it. You don't do good enough. And that is then what brings us to Jesus, because he was enough. He did for us what we couldn't do for him. And that's what changes our heart, because it reminds us of how amazing God is.
Yeah, yeah.
I think fasting actually is the first thing I thought of whenever you fast and then you get hungry. And then in those moments, you get frustrated, you get impatient, and then you're like, man, I want to live off of bread, God. And it's in those moments, I think, that God reveals to us just the areas that maybe we need to work on that we didn't notice before. And it's just this spot of needing God that we realize what else we need to do in our own lives to kind of put in order. And so I think fasting usually tends to show it for me, or just when I'm in need, in those lows, like you said, that's where it shows, oh man, like I have a lot more baggage than I thought I did.
Yeah. Yeah. And he wants what's best for you. So it's that relationship over that religion. And we see that in Matthew's story here, where Matthew is accepting the invitation. Jesus literally comes over to his house, and then Matthew turns and then extends the invitation to his colleagues. Johnny, put you on the spot here. Not even, you do this great with students, but I just admire the way you do this in general, as far as just inviting people and just inviting people into what God is doing in your life. I've lost count of the number of guys that I've met on Sunday. And
that's,
I'm
right,
like, how'd you hear about Cypress? And like, oh, I was rock climbing and I
with
ran
Johnny.
Into, yeah. Well, no, they didn't even know you, and they just met you at the rock climbing gym, and then you invited them. And so it's like, I just would love to hear kind of your thoughts on someone that's maybe struggling with this piece, where they're like, okay, I've received and accepted the invitation, but what, you know, we talk about this often, but what words do I use? How do I extend an invite? How do I not be too pushy? But how do I not like just not say anything? And so how do you kind of just personally navigate that? And Jose, I would love to hear your thoughts too.
Yeah, that's a really, really good question. I don't think there's exactly a correct way, but Paul is promised that he's going to preach to, you know, so many people. And he's like, I don't know how on earth I'm going to do that when I'm in prison. And slowly he's moving up in prison to where eventually he's speaking to like the highest in power. And the Holy Spirit gives him the words to say in those moments, where if you look at it, he just kind of shares his story. And so I think just in moments, you're going to find yourself when you're not expecting it, talking to someone about God. You're going to run into someone very unexpected. If you're rock climbing, if you're, you know, at Starbucks, wherever it is. And in those moments, I think just out of what you've experienced, share that out of love. And you're like, man, I want this person to experience the love of God that much as well. And I think it's just in those moments, God just gives you the words and he just makes a way and you're planting a seed. And, you know, ultimately it's, you don't know their heart condition. And so I think as long as you're just sharing your story and your love for God, that's always enough.
Yeah, you do a great job at that, Johnny. And it's so natural for you. And I think one of the reasons why it's so natural for you is because church or Jesus is not a part of your life. It is your life. And I think when we see our faith as part of our life, you know, oh yeah, I have this church thing, and then I have my family, and then I have my job, and then I have my group of friends, and then I have all these extracurricular passions that I'm a part of and hobbies, then it is hard to be inviting. You may see it as a chore, but when Jesus is your life, and therefore church is your life, because we are a family of imperfect people who follow the perfect Savior, then it's way more organic when the opportunity arises. Hey, let me share part of my life with you. I would love for you to taste and see what I've tasted and seen. And that's been my story with Cyprus since I started coming at age 18. I've always wanted to invite people because I've wanted to share what I've received. And I'm so sure that when they come, they're going to be loved. They're going to be welcomed. It may not be the place where they land, the church that they land in, or they may not choose to follow Jesus. But I know that if I just extend the invite, that they're going to come into a welcoming environment where Jesus is imperfectly but authentically worshiped and loved.
Johnny, would you say, this is a generalization for sure, but would you say that you've noticed just in the next generations, I even say in your generation, but we're all kind of close, but just the boldness is a lot higher in the future, like in the next generation? Because I feel like I'll throw myself and my generation under the bus, but I feel like there were even Christians that loved God, loved Jesus. We're going to wait till someone asked about it, or we were going to kind of like, I don't know, we just leaned on the side of, I don't want to offend anybody. But I feel like I've just noticed that students are way more bold and way more open about their faith. And I'm just curious if you've noticed that and kind of even just lessons we can learn from them with that.
Yeah, it's true, but I don't know why.
I have a thought.
Yeah.
I have a thought. And it actually has to do with the Pharisees and John the Baptist and their disciples. I'm speaking to our generation, Taylor, the fellow millennials, so I can't speak for the older generation. But there's a cynicism. There's a cynicism in our generation, and that's where there has been a lot of like, I don't trust organizations, I don't trust other things, and so I'm going to be cynical in my viewpoint of said organization, church, government, whatever it may be, and I am going to have my opinion and hold that closely. And so what that does is it puts us in a superior mode. We're superior. Our opinion gives us superiority. The Pharisees are challenging Jesus and their disciples. They're coming, they're asking a legit question. Why is Jesus hanging out with these tax collectors and sinners? But in their hearts, they're putting themselves above. And what John the Baptist's disciples, what they do is they embrace Jesus with curiosity. And they say, hey, so how come that your disciples don't fast? And you know, as John the Baptist's disciples and Pharisees, we do fast. What's the difference there? What I see in this next generation, and you said it earlier, Johnny, it's curiosity. There's an authentic curiosity about the person of Jesus, following Jesus. And I think if we continue to feed that, that's what changes our lives, not the organization of the church or a big system or government. No, what changes lives is the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Church follows that. And I see a generation that is hungry for the truth, for the real thing, and that is Jesus.
You said you don't know why, but do you have thoughts on that too? Just maybe leading suspicions about the boldness of the next generation?
Yeah, I mean, I have so many guesses, I think. And yeah, I do think there is a big curiosity. I don't even know if it could be just churches following Jesus better instead of being so consumed by themselves. I don't know if it's just better theology. I don't know if it's just the area or something, but I've noticed churches all over have really just been growing so much, and that there's been an authenticity and curiosity from all ages about Jesus. And so I'm not too sure, but I think God's on the move. And I think that we are just, you know, along for the ride, and that we've been just enjoying it really. And so it's been really incredible to see these students actually understand like these big concepts about Jesus. Like a seventh grade girl every week is asking me questions. I'm like, college students aren't even asking these questions. And so it's amazing what God is doing through that generation. And so I think we're doing really well at shepherding it, but I think it's just all God.
That was a perfect segue into this last point, Jose, because you had your 3 points on Sunday: embrace God's invitation to follow, extend the invite to Jesus and others, and then enjoy every step of the journey. So just that idea of just being able to settle into what God is doing and not taking control, which is so hard because I feel like I start to try to, at least for me, I can try to formulate things. I can try to like, you know, put Johnny, or Johnny, put God as a genie in a bottle.
I'm okay. I'll pass on that.
And being able to like just treat God that way and just trying to constantly kind of get something from him. And so I think that that's the part that is honestly, in my opinion, is the hardest of these three steps to do as far as just being able to enjoy things that are outside my control.
This illustration of patching an old garment that's torn up really does resonate with me because I am a fixer. I like to see a problem and I like to figure out, how am I going to patch this? How am I going to cover this leak? How am I going to stop this thing from happening? How am I going to solve this problem? And if I forget that Jesus first invites me into relationship with himself, then what ends up happening is I do religion all over again. I start thinking that I have the solution when really Jesus has the solution. And you said it, Johnny, really well. We're just along for the ride. He wants to use us, and he will if we're willing to look to him, receive his strength. And when we do, then it's a joy. It's a joy to be on this journey with Jesus. Not only personally do I have more peace and joy, but look around and see all the amazing things that God's doing. And so it is a both and, in the sense that I do believe we have to be very honest and get better as people, certainly as a church. We have that goal of excellence. We want to do everything unto the Lord because he deserves the best. And so in church, we're going to do our best. And we can't forget to enjoy the gift that it is to do this, to do it with God, and ultimately doing it for him.
So good. I think you mentioned something about this, but a leak or something like that. And I was just thinking that I just got a new house with leaks. And one of the leaks, I have first put putty on it to try to cover it up, still leaked. And then I bought some, you know, new tools and started trying to tear it apart and take it off, and got halfway through, and I eventually had to give up after a few hours and finally just had to put my pride aside and say, you know what, I don't think I can do this. And it took a lot of effort buying things, like, and I think that's what pride does, is it takes us further than we want to go, makes us spend more than we want. And it's just funny how that works, because then it's like we finally hit a point of, you know what, I'm just gonna let, you know, the professional do it. And so I think in our lives, we also are like, I want to control my friends. I want to control my relationships, how I spend my time, all of that. When in reality, it's like, as we do that, it's like life gets tough and busy. And then I think we tend to sometimes blame God even in those moments, when in reality, it's not about doing more, but maybe just doing less and letting God take control and letting, hey, the professional come in. That's and good, man. Start running your life.
Where was the leak?
It was below a sink. It's the most basic spot.
Did you have to get a new sink?
We'll see. I'm in that, like, deciding.
I hope let's go let's go with it, because that ties in really well to the new wineskin. You can't just patch it up.
That's true.
You can't put new wine. You got a new house, brother. Yeah. You got to get a new sink.
Very
you
likely get a we'll new have sink. To.
So
sort of GoFundMe for Johnny's sink. No, I think all this boils down to the invitation that God has given us, and it's a key aspect of following Jesus. I'd love to close, just Johnny, while we have you here, but Jose, I think I love how multi-generational our church is, and I know a lot of churches say that, and yet there's so much about our church that prioritizes the next generation and who's next. And so we'd love to just hear, and as we close, just for you to kind of share or reshare kind of the vision and the heart behind why it's so important that we are continuing to look and invest in those who are
We're going to look next week. So this is really a foreshadowing, because Jesus goes straight from this. He does some more miracles, and then he calls out the 12 and delegates authority to them. And so it's we see it in Matthew 10, but we also see it in Matthew 28, where he says, go, and the Holy Spirit comes in Acts 2, the day of Pentecost. So this idea of passing it on is so key to understanding how God works. And we do have a timeline here on earth. We are all aging. We're all getting older. And so if we do not pass it on to the younger generation, then we're really hoarding God's love and not passing it on. So not only that, as a church here at Cyprus, we have that legacy where I was passed a baton when I was underqualified, not underage, but I was young, no experience. And so that is something that I take very seriously, because I also want to make sure that I pass the baton when God says to go ahead and pass the baton on to the next generation. I do think it's something that we have to keep in order to allow the Lord to continue to bless the upcoming generations.
Yeah, that's so good. I was just thinking also in Matthew, it talks about who's the greatest. And then it's at that point that Jesus, you know, with his disciples in a, you know, living room, he then calls over a child, embraces the child and says, whoever receives a child, and talks about the child's like curiosity and just their Mom. Wonder. And he Mom. Says, that's how you receive me. And I think that's so important to recognize, why did he pick a child? And I think the disciples probably thought it was really odd too. And I think we just, you know, glance over like, oh, that's sweet. But then in reality, it's like, wow, he's making a point that we need to have the faith like a kid sometimes. And I think we see the faith of kids in the church right now that have been inspiring me and all of us. And I think God's moving in through them.
And you never know, that child could have been Timothy. That child could have been Titus. That child could have been the leader in that early church. And so to your point, that's the future.
Thanks for listening to the Conversations podcast. Be a part of the conversation by sending questions about the Sunday message directly from ccc.guide or by emailing conversations@cypresscreekchurch.com. See you back for the next conversation.